Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Wilson, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And as we come on the air, it's the Subway Series, the Yankees and the Mets, and they just showed a picture of Ruben Amaro, first base coach of your New York Metropolitans. Pretty amazing. For those of you who remember, he was actually the general manager of your Philadelphia Phillies, and I guess kind of left in a lot of distress as he was really just, you know, he was the one that gave the contract to Ryan Howard and kept Chase Utley, would not give up those players. And you know, I doubt it was him. It was probably more the ownership, but you know, he's the one that gets blamed. And, but he did a lot of good things, trading Cole Hamill and others to really help rebuild that team. And I think what you see the Phillies have become, a lot of those picks that were made, a lot of the deals that were made were all Ruben Amaro. But now I guess he wants to maybe get back on the field because he's a first base coach. Now it'd be interesting to see if he progresses from there or exactly what he does. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to remind me that, you know, everybody was on him and myself included. But I remember as he was making those deals that final year when he was just a sitting duck, they were good deals. And I think he has to get a lot of the credit as well. Just as, you know, the guys in Arizona who, you know, Tony La Russa and friends, when they were kicked out, I mean, a lot of the success that the Diamondbacks had last year, you have to attribute a little bit of it to Tony La Russa. So again, it sometimes when you're in a job, particularly in baseball, and things are going on and you're getting criticized, you don't really see the fruit of your labor till several years later. It can go the other way as well, where you make bad deals, you get let go, and then the guy's left holding the bag who takes up after that. But speaking of the Diamondbacks, I mean, one of the things that we will be talking about as soon as the great Tim McCloud joins us is Paul Goldschmidt. Have you seen what Paul Goldschmidt has done since June, since the beginning of June? I actually tweeted this out, so I'm going to make sure I get this right. I'm just going to read my tweet out. Let's see here. All right, come on, machine, act properly. Here we go. How hot has Goldie been since June 1st? He's increased his batting average by 45 points, his slugging by 100 points, and his OPS now sits at 858, up from 719 at the end of May. Yeah, this is a guy that he's got a 360 on-base percentage. I think he's got 14 home runs. You know, you subtract the batting average, which is still not Paul Goldschmidt, yeah, like 255, 258, something along that line. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is pretty much back to being Paul Goldschmidt, and it took about 10 days for it all to turn around. It is remarkable what he's done. I mean, it's just shoo-in. It's got to be when they announce it tomorrow for Player of the Week. It has just absolutely been remarkable what he's done. You know, and if he continues this pace, at least part of the pace, you figured maybe he'll get up to 270, 280 batting average. And again, with a 370 on base percentage and potentially a slug of close to 500, I mean, that's back to being Paul Goldschmidt. And maybe the first 2 months of the season will be just nothing but a memory as we were all trying to figure out what the heck happened to Paul Goldschmidt. So we're going to talk to Tim, get his view on that. And then we're going to try, because if many of you have tweeted out and sent us notes that, hey, good thing you guys called out Paul Goldschmidt because he has turned it around since we called him out. I can assure you we had absolutely nothing to do with it, but it is good because I am an owner, at least in one league, of Paul Goldschmidt. It's good to see that he's done what he has done. We're still waiting for Tim McLeod to join us, and there he is. Best 3 out of 5. I'm not sure what that means, but if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that a couple of ways. You can get the great Tim McLeod on Facebook. Tim McLeod, McLeod, just go out and enter that on Facebook, and the great one will respond, I'm assuming. If you want to get me, you can get me on Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361. A lot of you guys are asking, how can we support the show? Can we send you money? Blah, blah, blah. No, don't do that. Two ways. The first thing that you can do, well, if you want to send us money, hey, maybe. Two ways you can do that is go out and rate and review us out on iTunes. It's always helpful and very much appreciated when you do that. It does support the show. It helps our ratings and gets us more exposure. The second is you can go out to Prospect 361 and hit one of our affiliated links. There's our sponsors that are out there. We have Amazon. We have Steiner Sports. We have StubHub. And we have MLB Shops. Again, if you want to go out and buy something on Amazon, just go through our link and we get a little commission with whatever you buy, whether you buy the baseball cards that we throw up or not. The same thing is true with StubHub. I know a lot of you have gone to concerts and have gone through and gone through our site to do that. We very, very much appreciate it. All the little pennies and nickels helps to support the show and everything that we do. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Mr. McLeod. Timmy, good evening. How are you?
Good, Rich. The 3 out of 5 is the number of times I've been working on trying to get on air. Bit of a struggle to Blog Talk's being a bit cranky with me.
Okay, well, good. I hear maybe it has something to do with your power. Did you get power back today?
Yeah, it came back on around 3:15. The reason it was a little bit cutting it close on the old waiver wire today, I got a lot of it done this morning, but then the concept of me doing my waiver wire on my phone wasn't going to happen, Rich.
Now, so Timmy, you are cutting in and out a little bit. Do you have any windows open on your machine?
All I've got are two. Just the waiver wire on P361 and this one. That's it.
All right. Well, it is a little choppy, so hopefully it will clear up. So, how's your weekend?
Okay.
How's Tout Wars? How's labor doing?
Tout Wars. I'm stuck in mid pack 8th, and I'm probably going to be stuck there until next spring when we redraft. The news on Yu Darvish being out until the All Star break certainly isn't helping me. Labor, I'm still at first, but my lead has shrunk to, about 10 or 12 points. But I got Zach Britton coming back this week, and I got points to gain and save, so hopefully I get that lead back up there. Wasn't impressed with Carlos Martinez's effort this week. 7 walks today? Wow.
Yeah, maybe he's still hurting, Timmy. That's I saw that 3 2/3 innings a day or something. That was not a good showing. Don't you own Steven Strasburg somewhere?
Yeah, I own him in labor, Rich, but I built him off into my plan. So it's like an automatic with Strasburg, isn't it? You're not betting on 6 months. I'm betting on 5, and I'd rather have him take his month off now than September. How's that?
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you. It's, you know, every year he pretty much is going to take a month off. So that's what we've got. So Timmy, I'm going to ask you to once again try 4 out of 5 times because you're really breaking up. So why don't you
okay.
give it another whirl? Why don't you call back in? And as we do that, I will play a little tune as you're coming back in. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I'll be right back, Rich.
Okay. What do we play here, guys? Interesting. It's forgot where it was. Go for coffee. Go for soda. Oh, there it is. Let's. So we get back, we'll talk to the great Tim McLeod. All right, everybody. Let's try this again as the great Tim McLeod comes back. And now it says 47, Tim. What's the meaning of 47?
4 out of 7 was what it was supposed to say. I just increased the odds by a bit. But you're going to – quick story, Rich. And hopefully I'm coming through better now.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a little jumpy, but it's still we'll give it a shot. Keep going.
Okay, well, with the power being down, twice a year they shut it down for maintenance, and they shut the whole town down. Everything. They give businesses a week's notice, and everything is basically shut down. This is the most Canadian thing you will ever see, Rich. All of the streetlights are out, okay? So you do a controlled intersection, right? And you've got 4 Canadians sitting at this intersection where there's normally lights, and everybody is telling everybody else to go. It's hilarious. It really is.
Oh, it's funny. It's, you know, it's the politeness of the Canadians. Not to be political here, Timmy, but your leader and our leader kind of got into a bit of a disagreement. And I think his exact words were, "We're a polite crew, but enough's enough." And he said he wanted to stand up for his country. So I kind of laughed as the handsome one, Mr. Trudeau, basically stood up to our guy. So we'll see what my guess is. They'll kiss and make up at some point.
Well, I would think calmer heads would prevail, but one of the problems with the situation is, unfortunately, we like to deal with facts, and your president sometimes likes sort of skew them, and he got caught, and he didn't like it, and this was this time in Canada was supposed to be his triumphant send-off to Singapore, where he was going to solve the problems of the world in North Korea. And I think he left Canada with some egg on his face.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All I know, Tim, I don't know much, but I am 100% sure that your guy is way better looking than our guy. That I'm sure of. So
I have no comments on. There's nothing I can add to that, Rich. You win.
That's a handsome guy there, Timmy. Mr. Trudeau is a very handsome guy. Our guy, not so much. So I'll leave it at that. Timmy, we've got a lot of good stuff to talk about, and I'm looking for my notes, and of course I can't find them. So let's talk Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, we called him out a couple of weeks ago, and was he done? I mean, what did he need glasses? I mean, did he need to lose weight? I mean, what went on? And then all of a sudden, I don't know if you've seen what he's done since the end of May, but I mean, clearly he's going to win Player of the Week award here. But he's now up to batting .255. His OPS is up to .858. His on-base percentage is up to close to .370. He's got 13 home runs. Timmy, he looks like Paul Goldschmidt again.
Yeah, you know, if he keeps this pace up, he'll almost be as good as Freddie Freeman by the end of the year.
Oh, Timmy, come on. Mr. and Mrs. Goldschmidt, I'm so sorry of the cynicalness of our fine friend in Canada. He's usually much nicer than this. Come on, Timmy. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, he's only 30. Do you really think that Freddie Freeman will go ahead of him in drafts next year?
Yeah. Unless all of a sudden Goldschmidt develops the sprinter's legs of his L and starts stealing bases, a good chunk of Goldschmidt's value is tied up in the in-speed game. I want to see that coming back, and I want to see 15-plus stolen bases out of Goldie to get him back in the first round for me.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman, I know, stole a base yesterday, I think. I don't know how many stolen bases he has.
Yeah, the thing is, not paying you Freeman. That's a bonus. Goldie is built in his price, and I'm very, very happy that he's turned it around. I'm happy for his owners, because that's a heck of a kick in the butt to be investing in a first-round pick and having him return 14th-round value at that. So, you know, it's definitely got to be a real morale booster for his owners. And I'm sure they'll start climbing onwards and upwards a little bit in the standings, something they've probably been, you know, languishing a little bit in so far this year. They have to lose, you know, with the production that he's amassed thus far.
So, Timmy, I have something that you're going to be shocked at, and I think you're going to – I'm going to call you out here, Timmy. And I rarely do this because you're right, I don't know, 99-point-some% of the time. Guess how many stolen bases Freddie Freeman has?
More than I thought.
Six.
He's almost, he's probably halfway to Billy Hamilton's total.
Well, no, it's interesting. So, I mean, if he keeps his pace up and steals a dozen bases with, you know, he's got 11 home runs, let's say it's 25 home runs, a dozen bases, and, you know, close to 100 with a 300-plus batting average, isn't that old Paul Goldschmidt?
Sounds pretty close to me. You might be able to change the name tags, flip their spots in draft next year.
It could be, Tim. I mean, it could be. I think Freddie Freeman actually stole more bases last year than anybody think. I'm kind of going back and taking a look at what he did last year. Because I am an owner. I'm a proud owner of Freddie Freeman. And I know he had a few stolen bases before he went out on his injury. Last year, he had eight. And 2016, six. I mean, this is a guy that's not void of, you know, it's not going to get you zero stolen bases. It's not Joey Votto out there at first base.
No, his contract's smaller and he's younger.
Yeah. Don't you think it's pretty remarkable Joey Votto has not, I mean, they've not been able to trade that contract?
Well, it's 7 years or something like that. That's a tough sell.
Yeah. I hear you. So Timmy, we called out Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, maybe it's just wishful thinking because I am an owner, and he feels maybe the stolen bases aren't there. But let's let him get on base a little bit. He's pretty much hitting a home run or getting a double every time now. Let's let him get a chance to get back in it. But I thought we'd take a look at maybe some other guys that potentially are about ready to correct here. I've got five names and then five names the other way. And the first name is a guy that you've always been a little ambivalent on. I've always liked him a little bit more. And that's Dexter Fowler. He's batting 177. He's got a 200 batting average of balls in play, 20% strikeout rate and 11% walk rate. Can Dexter Fowler correct, at least assuming we're getting close to halfway through the season? If he can winds up with a batting average of 240, 250, that's a 300 batting average the rest of the year.
I think there can be a correction, but I think the biggest problem with Fowler this year is he's even more nicked up than he normally is. Right? He's dealing with a knee. There's been something, I think, pretty well right since spring training, and what might do him some good, his owners might not appreciate it, but it do him some good, both short and long, just put him on the DL, let Bader play full-time. You know, for the 10, 12 days, just let the guy heal up a little bit. Because I think the potential's there to see a bounce back, but he's got to be healthy first. He's pretty nicked up right now.
Man, that's Harrison Bader, right? You want him to play full time?
Yeah, for the 10 days, give it to him, yeah.
Yeah.
Call up
him. I like Oscar Mercado. I hope they give him a shot at some point. I've always liked that guy. He's got a little bit of speed, a little bit of pop. He can hit.
Yep.
Surprised he hasn't given a shot, but there's, I don't know, 50 outfielders in the St. Louis organization that are above AAA.
Yeah, I was going to say between them and Milwaukee, they've got the outfield covered until, what, 2025?
Yeah. Yes, Timmy, I go to so many minor league games, and I was actually at the Charlotte Knights game last night.
Okay.
And you know, it's funny when you see a guy like, oh my gosh, I had no idea he was still playing baseball. Trevor Plouffe. Trevor Plouffe is on the Philadelphia Phillies, the Iron Pigs. He's on their AAA roster, Lehigh Valley. I had no idea, Timmy, that he was even still kicking around a little bit. Remember when he was actually pretty good? He had that year and a half that he was pretty good. He was batting like 220 with four home runs and looked bad at the plate. He looks like he's just about done.
Yeah, I actually had him on my boat team the year I won. Woke up, smelled the coffee, and cut him about halfway through the season. That was a dream that turned into a nightmare. But yeah, every once in a while somebody just pops out of the blue that you think, like, didn't he retire like 5 years ago?
Yeah, remember Genmar Gomez? He's also on the Iron Pigs as well. I'm like, wow, like he's still kicking around. Remember he was the closer and then Kenny Giles beat him out for the job. And then he was actually pretty good again for a half a season. And then he was terrible and just kind of went away. And Hector Neris took over for him. And that was it.
Wasn't he, at one point in time, wasn't he a starter in the Indians organization?
I don't remember that. I remember him only as a Philly, Timmy. I don't remember that ahead of time. So, okay. No, I don't.
Yeah, no, I think I went through the trials and tribulations there a few times, if I'm not mistaken, over the years.
I definitely partook in the Jin Margumas. It's funny, Timmy. It's like having PTSD, you know? It's like you see these guys and you start twitching. It's like, and my wife goes, "Have you heard of Jin Margumas?" as he's coming in. I'm going, "I don't want to talk about it." It's like, please, don't mention his name ever again.
Yeah, it's blast from the past. It wasn't such a blast, eh?
No, not. Okay, what about Ian Desmond, Timmy? Here's a guy with batting 190, a 203 batting average of balls in play, 24.6 strikeout rate, which is not good, a 7.5 walk rate. Always a guy that's been pretty good, plays in a great ballpark, also nicked up early in the season, but has not been able to come back and do anything. And I know he's starting to hit a lot of waiver wires.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if you look back last year in half a season, well, he only hits 7 home runs. 2015 was 19 homers, 13 stolen bases. I guess it depends what you're expecting out of Desmond, but you know, I can get the batting average up into the 230 range maybe, and possibly, you know, 15 home runs, 10 to 15 stolen bases. I guess it depends on what your expectations are. And personally, I don't own many teams. My expectations going into the year were not as bad as we're seeing, but not enough to get me interested. If that makes sense.
Yeah, again, but if you think he's going to bat 230 and he's batting 190, so that means that's a 40-point flip, so that means it's 80 points higher. So you're going to say potentially he's going to bat 270, 275 the rest of the year, which isn't horrible. And, you know, handful of more home runs. I'm looking for guys maybe that you go out to the waiver wire and he's sitting there. I mean, like Melky Cabrera sucks. He's terrible. I got him in one league. He's on my bench. If I see Ian Desmond out there, I'd probably flip those guys and maybe try to catch some lightning with Ian Desmond as opposed to Melky Cabrera.
Last week, so he's due for a tear any day now, Rich. don't cut him till next weekend, okay?
Okay, well, maybe I'll do that. I might have him on my waiver wire claims this week. I don't know. The other Ian Kinsler, Timmy, you called him out a couple of weeks ago. I didn't realize, first of all, 219 batting average, 206 batting average in balls in place. So he is getting unlucky. But 9% strikeout rate and a 7.7% walk rate. So this is a guy still making really, really good contact. Never walked a lot, but it would feel like with that level of contact and playing in a pretty good lineup, you would hope that you'd see some correction coming.
Well, and he's hit 3 home runs in the last 4 games. Correction's already occurring, Rich.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, so day late and a dollar short, as always, Tim.
Yeah, well, he's well on his way to being the Ian Kinsler we know and love.
Speaking of the Angels, Timmy, what a bummer. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, I do own him in one league, and I talked about him last week, but irregardless, I mean, real, real bummer that it looks like he might be gone for more than a couple of weeks. It bums me out given what he was doing as a rookie and, you know, just you know, the kind of excitement he brought. It doesn't feel good, Tim.
No. How much time did Tanaka miss when he first had his problem with the UCL? I think it was a couple of months, wasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of months, maybe longer.
Yeah, it was a while. Garrett Richards, he took basically the whole year off, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. And he went through, some kind of procedure that wasn't Tommy John. And it looks like he came back okay, but I think he lost a year and a half. And I know he was out for almost an entire season trying to recover, but he never got cut. But maybe he should have. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just it's a sad situation because you have so much excitement to the game. I just hope whatever occurs, at some point in time, they sit down and say, you know, hey, it's at that. I just hope it doesn't linger for the next year and a half, 2 years between putting off the Tommy John. You know, hey, if he needs it, get it done.
Yeah, we'll see, Timmy. I I'm worried. I mean, it's you know, we were worried when he got the Angels won the sweepstake, and then we hear that, you know, he had a partially sprained or partially torn UCL, and it's the same thing Tanaka had, and you're going, boy, this doesn't feel good. And then, I mean, he came on like gangbusters, and you go, this is awesome, and you think, the blisters, we'll get through that, and then this. In fact, I thought he was going out because he had a blister, and then it's like, no, he's got a grade 2 strain of his UCL, which is not good, Timmy. That's not like a little twisted ankle in your elbow, if you know what I mean. That's a little bit more severe.
Well, yeah, everyone's away from
Can you say that again?
Yeah, you're one step away from, hey, the UCL is totally done.
You're
getting close.
Yeah, I hear you. Anthony Rizzo, Tim, another guy who's been sparking up a little bit recently. Still a guy, it's pretty remarkable, only 12.7 strikeout rate of 12.7, a walk rate of 10.1. Do you like that? 245 batting average, a 236 batting average of balls in place. You know, got a dozen home runs. Again, a guy who was taken number 2 in the draft, you expect more. I still think, as we were doing him and Paul Goldschmidt together, I still think there's a correction coming. I think Anthony Rizzo is a buy-low candidate.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys in Chicago that Joe Maddon banked, so I definitely have an interest there. But is Rizzo more than the 260, 270 batting average type of guy? I think the power will be there. Runs, RBIs, and I think at the end of the year, he'll bring that batting average up into the 260, 270 range, and life will be good. He's walking lots. The strikeout rates are good. I'm not overly concerned with Anthony Rizzo at all.
Yeah. Just saying, Timmy, Jose Altuve stole his 10th base today. Just saying.
I know, and you can thank me for that. I motivated him. I still, believe it or not, ungrateful as they are, I haven't got a thank you note from Jose or any of his family for my effort.
I read you the letter they sent me, and they were quite upset with you, Tim. Mr. and Mrs. Altuve, and you know, they had to get an interpreter to write the note, and you know, because you know they speak Spanish and they don't speak English as their first language, and they went through a lot of effort, and you know, I was expecting more of a formal apology than what you quite frankly gave out. So, but. That's something that's between you and God, Timmy. You're going to have to deal with that.
Yes, the phrase is coming into play here, right?
Yeah. Very well.
Thank you for the motivation.
That's right. I'm always here, Timmy. Hey, speaking of Milwaukee, Eric Thames comes back. Was it Tuesday, I think they're saying. Is he going to get playing time? What's going to happen with Jesus Aguilera? I mean, he's been really good.
Yeah, he was good today. He got a golden throw. I think he got 4 strikeouts and 4 at-bats. Perfect timing for Thames to reappear. I don't see Eric Thames losing his job. Aguilar has played very, very well, but it's a situation where I think it benefits the Milwaukee Brewers, as much as I hate to say it, to see those two guys tuning.
Yeah, I mean, Aguilera, I was trying to say, I think he's got a dozen home runs or something. I mean, he's been really good. I mean, he's much better against lefties, so maybe that's maybe that's where they put him. It's just, maybe they play Eric Thames against righties and Aguilera against lefties. Maybe that's something they do.
Yeah, I don't see Eric Thames riding the plane. You remember, he hit, 8 home runs in April before he got hurt. So it's not like he's chopped liver. He's a good player.
No, I totally agree with you, Timmy. I was going to mention that as well. He was actually playing extremely well before he went down. I think he's 6-for-12 in his minor league rehab. So, you know, I think he's got something to prove when he gets back as well. So I just wanted to get your thoughts there. I kind of agree with you on that. Let's take a look at some bats that might correct to the bats. I mean, the first guy at the top of the batting average of balls in playlist is none other than Nick Castellanos. 406 batting average of balls in play. So that 326 batting average appears like it's going to come down to something that's more in the 260, 270 range, which is where he is. But I didn't realize 22% strikeout rate, which okay, but he never walks, man. It's 4.4% walk rate. So, you know, if you're loving what Nick Capciano has done, I think that batting average is going to correct.
I agree. The batting average is going to come down. He's not a 300 hitter. I think he's a 270, 280 type hitter. But he's going to hit home runs. He's going to drive runs in. He's one of the few bright lights in an otherwise fairly dismal Tigers team.
Yeah. Matt Kemp, Timmy, and I bring him up because, of course, his batting average of balls in play is 400 and his 340 batting average, you know, it's not going to remain. Strikeout rate is 22.7, 5.1% walk rate. It's typical Matt Kemp, like kind of strikeout to walk. But if you try to sell high on Matt Kemp, can you do that in any league that is even respectable? Because everybody knows that Matt Kemp is old. He's doing a Ryan Zimmerman type of, you know, nice season. He's trying to prove himself and so forth. But he's going to turn back into Matt Kemp at some point. We just don't know when.
Well, yeah, and you don't want a guy. It's like music chairs. You know, you want to be the guy sitting down. You don't want to be the guy standing up holding Matt Kemp in your lap, whatever. There's going to be some regret. He's playing well, but. Hey, if you got him, you get a nice little bonus, but you don't get anything for him in a trade. I just can't see it happening.
Yeah. Scooter Gennett, Timmy, after a really nice year last year, again, playing extremely well, but 397 batting average of balls in play, got 342 batting average. We thought it would correct last year. It really didn't. When are we going to see Scooter Gennett come back to being the guy that we knew? Or is this the new Scooter Gennett, just a guy that's a 300 batting average guy with a little bit of pop and, you know, with a little bit of pop?
Well, you know what he did last year? He's doing it again this year. I wasn't much of a believer, but heading in next year, how do you say you're not a believer? You know, 1 year, maybe it's a fluke. 2 years, that's a whole different story. And I think his value has to rise next year. Or else you'll end up being the Rodney Dangerfield of fantasy baseball.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't think anybody bought into him in the beginning of the preseason, and it's still tough when you see that 390 batting average of balls in play. But I mean, at some point, I mean, maybe he's not a 342 hitter, but he could be a 280, 290 hitter with a good deal of a little bit of power, a little bit more power than we ever thought. So, a guy, Timmy,
yeah.
That if not for some good fortune of, I think the third week of the season where I had him on the waiver wire cut, and I got out Timmy, and he still remained on my team, and that is Brandon Crawford. He's batting 326, a ton of power. He was terrible the last 2 years. Remember how good he was the year before? He's kind of become Brandon Crawford again. Strikes out too much at 20.8. Doesn't walk a whole lot at 6.7. But that 390 batting average of balls in play says, I got lucky, but my luck is going to run out here. What do you think of Brandon Crawford?
I think he's towards the back end of top 10 shortstops. He produces consistently. He gets no respect. Come draft day, you'll probably get him at a bargain. And you know, next year, he'll probably drive in 80 runs, hit 15 home runs, do 80, 290 batting average. He's just a solid all-round player. Never be a stud, but he'll always just be a good all-round player. That has place.
When Dansby Swanson came into the league, Timmy, I was worried he'd be a 15-15 guy. I always thought he would hit. But I'm looking at this stat line of a 271 batting average. Okay, that's pretty good. But a 363 batting average of balls in play, striking out 28% of the time, walking 7% of the time. Tim, remember how bad Dansby Swanson was last year? I think in the second half, he could look more like 2017 Dansby Swanson than 2018 Dansby Swanson.
And he's currently, if I'm not mistaken, hitting second in the lineup. So he's generating some stats with Freddie Freeman hitting behind him. Yeah, when you look at that strikeout rate combined with the fairly high BABIP, yeah, you would think that batting average is coming down. How far down? I'm gonna say, Rich, that at the end of the year, Orlando Arcia has a higher batting average than Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, I mean, RC has been playing a lot better, got the Modet, seems to have come back and shown a little bit of life. I think he's finally over the Mendoza line, so maybe he can pull a Paul Goldschmidt. I think that's a good call out.
Yeah, we just need to see how it shakes down, but for those of you that exercised a little bit of patience, I think the rewards will still be there with RC. He's a young player. I'm expecting a big second half.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Dansby Swanson, Timmy. I do own him in a dynasty league, and I got him late. I was a little surprised. I might have been the guy who got taken on that. I know he's only 24, but, man, I just don't like that stat line, and it looks eerily similar to last year's stat line when he batted 232 with 6 home runs and 3 stolen bases. And again, he's already got 6 home runs, but if a guy who's going to bat 240 with 12 home runs and 12 stolen bases, that's not a guy you can roster in a fantasy league.
Not a chance. You got to be getting into 20, 25 team leagues before he'll hold value producing at that level.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably more like 12 home runs and 6 or 7 stolen bases. So that's just not good. I mean, again, still very young, still got the pedigree. Again, first overall pick by the Diamondbacks. So, you know, throughout his at least young life, people thought he would be a lot better than what he's become. So not wanting to give up on him in dynasty leagues yet, but I am deeply, deeply concerned. And the problem is you can't trade him for anything. Nobody's going to give up. No one's going to give you much for him.
No, if we're in that league, Rich, I'll give you less than what you're looking for just because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, I know, Timmy. That's and we are in that same league, and I've gotten some of your trade offers, so I'm going to pass, big guy. So I'm going to not partake in that. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to go into some news and notes and then get to your waiver wire. You ready?
Sounds good.
I saw Cody Bellinger, Timmy. He was obviously awesome last year, 39 home runs. He went on to win the National League Rookie of the Year, and things got a little bit tougher for him this year. He's only batting 235. He does have 12 home runs. I guess my question is, who is Cody Bellinger? I mean, can you maybe give me what you think a stat line of a typical year would be, home runs, RBIs, and batting average? I'd like to know who you think we've got with Cody Bellinger.
Well, I'll go with a floor of 35 home runs, 90 RBIs, and a 270 batting average.
Wow. Tim, you're still all in.
I totally am. You get off a slow start, but, you know, 12 home runs are the way through the season. He's on pace for 35 home runs this year with slow start. All he needs to do is heat it up for, 15 minutes or so, and he's not going to be far off those numbers. I think Cody Bellinger is going to be a very, very, very player for a long time.
All right. So all those people that are tweeting at me saying, should I trade 50 cents on the dollar with Cody Bellinger? You heard it from the great Tim McLeod. The answer is no. Let me ask you a question, Tim. Would you, because I got this Twitter question a couple of weeks ago, would you trade Cody Bellinger for Paul Goldschmidt straight up? Yeah, trade for Cody Bellinger by giving up Paul Goldschmidt straight up in a dynasty league.
Yeah, no hesitation.
Wow. Yeah, I had some hesitation, but I think in the end I said yes. And that was even though I was thinking Paul Goldschmidt would come back and do something, I didn't think he would do this. But I agree with you because of the age difference, if nothing else.
Well, yeah, you're looking at what, seven 8 years age difference?
Yeah, I mean it's significant, and you know, I kind of think based on what you just said, the upside of Cody Bellinger is Paul Goldschmidt, and you know, again, given 30 years of age, and Paul Goldschmidt might be able to do this another year or two, and in a dynasty league, thinking that I might have 5 or 6 years of that kind of production out of Cody Bellinger, I'm gonna bet on the come on that.
Yeah, you know, with the age difference. You got 7 years to play with until he gets to the current age of Paul Goldschmidt. That's a lot of production. It really is. I like I said, I'm not concerned about Cody Bellinger at all.
So the Diamondbacks traded for John Jay this week, Timmy. I mean, they're just trying to find anybody with Steven Souza still out. Just anybody that can do something. I mean, good. Granted, John Jay is not very good, but like you always say, he's going to get playing time. What about John Jay?
This trade further reinforces my thoughts from earlier on in the year that, yes, Manny Thomas will never play another Major League Baseball game for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Right?
They hate him. They hate him.
When you trade for a guy whose high in home runs in the past 4 years is 3, whose high in stolen bases is 6, before giving Thomas a shot, what does that say? He's done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but Yasmani Tomas has not played well. I think batting .231 with 2 home runs in 51 games. That's what he's doing in Reno, Timmy. In Reno, you and I could hit home runs in Reno. The balls fly out up in Reno. So he's had a .254 on-base percentage.
He's earned his spot with Reno, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's just they hate that guy. I mean, it's just a bad investment. I mean, I gave a little bit of credit to Tony La Russa, but this is one huge mistake they made, spending that kind of money on Tomas when nobody else would, and it's going to bite him, Tim, because the Diamondbacks don't have a ton of money, and when you lock up a guy like Yasmani Tomas for that many years, it hurts.
Well, yeah, it almost makes me wonder if Tomas even cares about getting back to the big. We need numbers like that. You know what I mean? He did 30 home runs, I think, in his second year.
Yep, 30 home runs, yep. 31, actually.
Yeah, so it's not like he couldn't play. How is he hitting 2 home runs at Reno?
It's not going well for the young man. And, you know, I mean, Ruzny Castillo, we saw, you know, another Cuban guy who we thought more of. And the difference between Ruzny Castillo being signed by the Red Sox and Yasmani being Tomas signed by the Diamondbacks is the Red Sox can afford to make that kind of mistake. The Diamondbacks just can't.
Yeah, and actually Castillo has been playing fairly well the past couple years. In most organizations, he'd be up. I think Boston can't bring him up, Rich, because I think it puts him over to the cap.
Correct. That's exactly right, Timmy. So the way it works is if you're on their active 25-man roster, then that salary then goes against active salary goes against the cap. So he has no chance to come up. None.
Yeah.
So, because they're sure not going to bring him up to push him over the cap. So they're playing, you know, that $12 million salary becomes $18 million because they have to pay a 50% premium on it.
I would love to see Castillo go 40-40 this year just because.
Yeah. See what he's doing, Timmy. I don't know if you looked at a stat line recently.
No, I haven't looked recently, but somebody was commenting that he was having a pretty good year. So I'm not going to try and look it up right now because it'll probably boot out. So I'm going to.
Okay. Yeah. So, he is batting .317. You like that? A .342 on base percentage. Only 3 home runs and 6 stolen bases and a 39-9 strikeout to walk ratio. So I'm not looking at what his BABIP is, but I'm guessing that was actually pretty good. I mean, last year, Timmy batted .314. With 15 home runs and 14 stolen bases, and that got him where? Nowhere. So,
an invite back to Pawtucket for another year.
Yeah, it's remarkable. He doesn't get a chance to come up in September call up, Timmy, because again his contract puts them over the limit. It's real unfortunate. So I think he signed for 6 years, and his first year was 2015, so 15, 16, so that's 4 years. So he's still got another year or two before he gets released and then has a chance to maybe catch on with another team.
And in the meantime, I do feel for him because of predicament, but at the same point in time, financially, he's still pretty well off, if I'm not mistaken. He's probably set for life, his family and his family's family have managed, right?
Yep. So Seth Lugo, Timmy, I'm watching the game here, the Yankee-Mets Subway Series. Through 6, he's given up 2 hits.
I've got it on here right now, and it's 2-0 for the Mets. The only consolation is there's still 3 innings left, okay, for the sweep. The Yankees bounce back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as an owner in many leagues of Jacob DeGrom continually, I'm well aware of the problems in the Mets bullpen. I mean, it's just every year it's like this. It is, and people are looking at this year. I've owned Jacob DeGrom for so many years that unless he pitches a complete game or they're winning 10-1, he's going to lose. And the same thing happened this past week. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's disheartening. It must be for him incredibly, and for all of his owners, because right now I'd have to put him in the category of an elite starter. He's definitely in the top 10 by my ranking. I might even be pushing close to top 5, Rich. He's having a great year.
So speaking of having a great year, I've always been high on this kid. I know you weren't enamored when you saw him in the Arizona Fall League, but Gleyber Torres, Timmy, batting 300, he's got 11 home runs, he's got a .357 on-base percentage, a slug of .571, an OPS of .929. With Shohei Ohtani going down for considerable time, I think Gleyber Torres slides into the favorite for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, as much as I wasn't impressed with what I saw in the AFL, this is to show you, Rich, that I do listen. I drafted him in labor, okay, based on solely your recommendations. I do listen, and I've been reaping the rewards.
How's that Ahmed Rosario recommendation going?
Actually, he's up to 4 stolen bases now.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
How many home runs?
I think 3, I think. He's getting there. Slowly but surely.
All right. Well, maybe he'll be 8 home runs and 9 stolen bases and a .230 batting average. I mean, you can thank me for that at the end of the season.
I will, Rich. I'm that type of guy. I'll there for you.
Timmy, and I'm hoping you emote a little bit on this because, look, Brad Miller's not that good of a baseball player. I grant it. But he does have an OPS of .751. So there's a lot worse players out there. Why did the Rays cut him?
Well, you're going to like this even more. Not only did they cut him, but today they traded him. And guess which team they traded him to, Rich?
Well, the Brewers, I read that, Timmy, and he has no, I don't know, is Arcia going to get pushed down? Is Thames or Aguilera? I mean, where does he play in Milwaukee?
He doesn't. He plays in Colorado.
Yeah. I guess, is he that bad? Do people hate him that much? Not a very good player, but he's a better player than... I mean, he's better than waiver wire or replacement level player. I mean, he's a second division guy. I would have thought for the Rays, he could easily play on that team.
He's the reason that nobody drafted Scooter Jeanette this year, Rich.
Yeah. Well, Jake Bowers gets the chance. I know he's on your waiver wire, so we'll talk about it then. I just think the Rays were being ultra cheap, and they didn't want to pay any more of that $5 million salary. So that's why he got moved.
Yeah, I think, when you look at the Rays, if anything over minimum, I think you could be subject to relocating. Apparently, I heard somewhere through that Adamas is looking at arriving soon. It must be getting super two time any day now, right?
Probably another week, Timmy, and then it should be time. I mean, you'll know because the Rays are a smart team, and they're sure as heck not going to promote a guy until they're absolutely sure that he's not going to be 4 years of arbitration. So that you can take to the bank.
Yeah, watch the Rays. As soon as they bring up Thomas, we'll know arrived.
So, Timmy, I don't know if you've seen what the Seattle Mariners have done since Robinson Cano got hurt. I mean, they are holding off the Houston Astros. And, you know, currently, at least at the beginning of the day, they were actually leading or tied with the Astros for the lead in the AL West. Any chance, Timmy, that they can give the Astros a run for their money?
There's a chance, but also with odds of less than 10%. Are you aware, Rich, that today was the 21st time this season that the Mariners have won by one run? They've got 21 of their 41 wins have been by one run. Hypothetically here, if that were to, say, go to a 50-50 split, right, which still isn't bad, they'd be in fourth place. I don't think they're going to win all those close games in the second half. I really don't. I just don't think they have enough. They have enough offense.
I agree with you, Timmy. And I think the Astros with that pitching, all but Dallas Keuchel. And Dallas Keuchel has been very on Dallas Keuchel. Well, I guess in the one or two years where he was really, really good, he's turned back into who Dallas Keuchel was before. Besides that, they've just got amazing pitching and an offense. I can't believe that they're not going to win this AL West by more than 10 games. I hope they don't, because that'll keep Jose Altuve running.
Yeah, I think they'll still win that division by 10 games. Very close to it.
So, Timmy, as we get into your waiver wire, we will do a quick guess the player.
Ooh.
Would you like to do? We haven't done it for a while.
Sure. Mitch Keger.
All right. Exactly.
Did I guess right?
You guessed right. here's my clues, Timmy. just 272 batting average, a 356 on base percentage, 13 home runs, 3 stolen bases, and a player that Tim McLeod hates to know in. So, Timmy, who is this player?
I'm going to go out on a limb and go Mitch Haniger, Rich.
And you would be correct, Timmy. Oh, man, you know me too well. I was hoping you'd get it. I didn't realize you'd get it before he even gave the clues. That was pretty funny.
I had a hunch, okay, and deservedly so. You deserve to rub a little salt into the wound, Rich. I saw that one coming.
I will continue to do that, Timmy, until I get bored. And I'm quite frankly not bored yet, so I'm going to continue to do it, because there's so few times that I'm right and you're wrong, and that this makes me – it warms me cuckles, as you would say.
Yeah, you know, the first reason being Ken, right?
Exactly. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to talk your waiver wire and then finish up with two start pitchers. The great Tim McLeod's waiver wire is out week number 12. Timmy, I mean, we're halfway. What do we get, 26 weeks? You're probably halfway done the waiver wire, because you don't usually do it the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we got to be coming up to that halfway mark, and it's been a blast so far. Right, got some wrong. Hopefully we've helped our listeners out so far, and we'll continue to do so.
A great call last week, and you know, I've mentioned this in I said last week, here's what I wrote. Last week list looked a little ho-hum, but Robert Gesellman turned out to be quite the name, as it now looks like he gets save chances in New York. Well done, Mr. McLeod.
Thanks. The Magic 8-Ball was working real well with the Gesellman call, but again, it's a good opportunity. You know, the Rose drops, he moves into the setup role, and next thing you know, Familia's done. So, you know, and over the space of about, 10, 12 days, he's gone from a middle reliever and an afterthought to somebody that people are going to spend some money on this weekend.
Yeah, and I've always been a fan of the arm of Robert Gesellman, and I'm glad to see that he's going to have a high leverage impact, at least a high leverage opportunity here in the bullpen. Yeah, I would have liked to seen him as a starter. I know he would have liked to have been a starter, but the bullpen guys can make a lot of money as well. So, Timmy, my final sentence in the opening paragraph, I don't know if you had a chance to read it. I said, there are a bunch of interesting names. Okay, I said, there are a bunch of interesting names. Okay, perhaps not Lonnie Chisenhall for you to make your selection.
Look, did you see what I wrote about Chisenhall?
I did, and I felt it was okay to join in with the busting of Lonnie Chisenhall, because you started it. So
yeah, it's one of those situations. You gotta recommend the guy, but you really don't want to. Like, you know, it's It's Lonnie Chisenhall.
Lonnie Chisenhall. Yeah, he had that one great game where, I don't know, I think it was like 40 points on a points league or something he scored. I mean, it was crazy. Nine RBIs, three or four home runs. It was a nutty game. And I remember that, Timmy, and I think you had him or I had him sitting on our bench in one of our leagues. I don't remember. But that's, again, another PTSD moment when I heard Lonnie Chisenhall's name.
Well, yeah, it's a sort of situation. If you had him in your active roster at that time, your team really sucked. It wasn't a good thing to have him active.
That's true. That's a fine point. Okay, Timmy, let's get to the names. Jaime Barria pitched really well in the major leagues. As you say, he goes down to the minor leagues, doesn't pitch as well. I mean, this is not a great pitcher, but a guy that you love to roster because he has 6, 7, 8 games of success before he falls apart. But Jaime Barria will probably get the opportunity with Shohei Ohtani now on the DL.
Well, yeah, I think and he threw 3 innings, Rich. That's just a pen session, basically. You know, I mean, he's on the plane to LA, and he'll be part of that rotation until Ohtani returns.
Okay, I think it's a good call. I just know he's not that good, everyone. So, I mean, if you start to see some wobbles, it could be the league has figured him out. Jake Bowers, Sammy, he's the guy that gets the benefit of the Tampa Bay Rays parting company with the great Brad Miller. Jake Bowers, love the name, Timmy. Been a prospect, it seems like, for the last 10 years. Can he do anything?
Well, he's got the perfect opportunity, and I picked him up in tote today on a $36-$37 bid. It's an OBP league, and I don't think Bauer is going to hit for big power, but I think he's going to steal some bases, and I think the on-base will be solid. So, you know, in 15-team leagues, I'm rather bullish.
Okay, well, good. I've never been a huge fan of Jake Bowers, but I respect your opinion, particularly in an on-base percentage league. I think it's there. I just don't know what else he has. He might feels a little bit like the guy in Minnesota, not Robbie Grossman. Maybe it is Robbie Grossman. I mean, kind of that not a whole lot of secondary skills, but really good on-base percentage skills.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Robbie Grossman.
Yeah, right. There you go. Diego Castillo. Timmy, why don't you introduce the world to Diego Castillo? I think this is a really good call out by you.
Yeah, a relief pitcher with Durham, having an absolutely great year. High strikeout guy. ERA coming out of Durham was 1.025. It's Tampa Bay. Right now, nobody's really stepped up and is owning the job. So why not toss a couple bucks in his direction if you're looking for a potential back of the bullpen sort of guy? I like the stuff, and I think there might be an opportunity there, Rich.
Fantasy god Lonnie Chisenhall, we've talked about him. Everybody, if you've got $340 left in your fab budget, I would spend $339 for Lonnie Chisenhall. Timmy, is that what you would go?
Easily. I see the extra buck he's worth it.
For sure. Dylan Covey, Timmy, with the White Sox. And again, I see a lot of AAA White Sox. And I got to tell you, Michael Kopech is not ready. 10 strikeouts the other day, but 5 walks. The control is not there. He reminds me of Tyler Glasnow still. I mean, he just can't repeat his delivery. And, you know, he's got really premium stuff, really good little strike guys out. But, man, it just worries me with that control. It's just not there.
He's still young. Lots of time.
Yep. What about Dylan Covey?
Well, you know, I was looking at him last week, and then, you know, it was one game, and it was 5 innings, and, you know, it was a nice game against the Brewers, and I said, no, I'm going to wait and see what he does the next time, knowing that he had the Red Sox in Fenway, and lo and behold, 6 innings of shutout ball, struck out 7. As I say in my article, 2 in a row makes for a streak. Time to give him a look.
Eric Fetty, Timmy, with all the problems now in Washington, he gets another opportunity. Really well thought out prospect, has not really put it together at the major league level yet.
No, I was a little snarky this week. He incurred some of my wrath as well. Matter of fact, I think I gave it to everybody at AAA Syracuse, including Tommy Malone and Austin Vaught.
Two Tim McLeod favorites there, by the way. Tommy Malone and Austin Foth, you'd like both of those guys.
Yes, and I'm going to pick one of them up this week just so I can have one more spin. Not.
Okay.
Everybody at Syracuse, I think, has an ERA over 5. I think Fetty's is the best of the worst. So that's why I'm recommending.
Yeah, I mean, at least they don't know who he is yet, right? I mean, he hasn't had as many opportunities as the other. I mean, we know what Tommy Malone is, and we're pretty sure we know what Austin Foth is. At least we think that Eric Fetty can be more. But Tommy Malone, I mean, I've said this time and time. This guy will retire from baseball with a nice, having made quite a bit of money. He's not going to make $30 million a year, but he's a lefty. He can have spurts of actually pitching fairly well. I bet you his career earnings, Timmy, will be somewhere in the $10 million range.
Yeah, they might even be higher. And on top of that, he'll end up with a pension, right?
Exactly. Exactly, Timmy. Robert Gesellman, we've talked about him. Just a great, great call by Tim. I have to call him out by that. To me, it warms me cockles of Alan Hansen. We see it again in here. Came back from the disabled list, and what you wrote is absolutely correct. I mean, he has been hot.
Well, yeah, he pinch hit, I think, in 4 games in a row and ended up with a home run and hits every time he pinch hits. They finally gave him a start and he got a couple hits. And the big problem with Hansen is finding a spot to get him in the lineup because, you know, Joe Panik's got the glove at second base. He ain't going anywhere. They put him in at, I think they put him in at third base for a game and gave Longoria a day off. But right now, even Gorky's Hernandez hasn't slowed down. And until Hernandez slows down a little bit, it's going to be tough to find at bats. But so far, every time Hansen gets them, he's taking advantage of it still.
I know. And it's, you know, you almost feel like you just roster him now because even as a pinch hit, he's hitting home runs as a pinch hitter. So, I mean, I really, as you know, we've talked about this a lot. I've always been a big fan of Alan Hansen. I think he can be really, really fantasy relevant if he ever gets full-time at bats.
Well, you know, Gorky Hernandez is playing way over his head. He's 31 years old. My suggestion to Alan Hansen owners is bury him on your bench for now. Exercise some patience because I just don't believe that Gorky Hernandez is going to keep this up, and I think there's a good chance that Alan Hansen does. So, you know, hey, do what you're going to do, but he's one guy that I'm willing to exercise some patience right now and just sit and see what happens with Hernandez.
So I just looking at the game, Timmy, I think I just saw Robert Gesellman out pitching. Did he get people brought in at the seventh inning? Is he going to go for a 3-inning save here? Or are they just trying to win a game against the Yankees?
I have no idea.
I see long flowing hair and in the back of the Gesellman. Gesellman's out there.
In what inning?
Seventh.
I got it on TV, but I can't see that far.
Okay. See, they're a very big room, Timmy, or it's time for glasses. It's got to be one or the other.
Guide dog, Rich. I'm beyond glasses.
Yeah, Timmy, it's so bad. I can't read. I can't read anymore. I have to wear glasses, and I'm not in the habit of bringing reading glasses with me. And I get to a restaurant. I get anywhere, and I have to read, and I can't see anything.
Well, yeah, I've experienced those challenges. They make the numbers in the top left where they show the score and everything else. They make them way too small. They've got to expand those for us older folks, Rich. They really do.
Yeah, I know. I hear you, Timmy. All right, let's get back to your waiver wire here. Let me flip over. I got distracted. Yoshi Hirono. Timmy, am I saying that correct?
Hirono.
I'm not all that familiar with the former Oryx Buffaloans. So tell me what I should be thinking of here.
Well, you know, he's doing everything they thought he could do. The splitter is definitely his out pitch, but, you know, in leagues that are counting holds, he's up to 12 holds. Okay, striking out a batter per inning, and ZRA is 167. I don't see a future barring catastrophe as a closer in Arizona, but when you're only owned at 7%, one would think there might be an opportunity in Holsley, and that's why I listed him. That and the fact that I love everything Japanese, and I hadn't talked about him yet much this year, right?
Yeah, and I think you brought him up from a preseason, but not since then. I think as we were talking about Brad Boxberger versus Hirano, so
right.
I think I had Brad Boxberger. There was who else was in the mix for? Oh, what's
Bradley.
His face? Bradley.
Archie.
Yeah, Archie. Yeah. And Boxberger won out, and I got lucky in one of my leagues where I drafted him. Kevin McCarthy, Timmy. You're thinking, and I love the thinking here, that Kelvin Herrera gets moved. He's got to get moved to the Houston Astros. I mean, they're desperate need for a guy who can close games. So Kelvin Herrera is going to be moved. He just is. And you're thinking Kevin McCarthy gets the chance once he's gone.
Well, you look at the Royals' bullpen, and there's not really all that. Look at right now. It's not a good, deep, strong pen, and McCarthy has posted the best numbers. So it's one of those situations. If you got an open spot and you want to gamble a little bit, somebody is going to take over for Kelvin Herrera. And right now, I think it's McCarthy. So I'm recommending him as a buy cheap, buy early.
Let's skip over Max Muncy for a second. Go to Hector Rondon. I just mentioned the Houston Astros. You know, I know I've watched where Hector Rondon has gotten the last couple of save opportunities. Timmy, he was not very good when he was with the Cubs, particularly after Joe Maddon left. He gets moved, and he's actually been pretty good while he's been at Houston. But can we trust him to be a closer? Because it looks like Ken Giles is out of the role finally, and I don't see that coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen. There's a lot of potential closers in that bullpen. You know, Brad Peacock, we haven't heard much from him this year. He's still there. Davinsky, I think they'd prefer to use him in a setup or a longer role. But, you know, I looked at the numbers on two of the first three saves, and he allowed either two hits or a hit and a walk in both those efforts. He got out of it. Good for him. He closed it out today. That makes three saves in the past week. I got to think that for now, Rondon is the guy. But for whatever reason, I'm not filled with confidence. I could see if he struggles in an outing that, you know, A.J. Hinch could go back to Giles.
That would be remarkable. I know they love his stuff. But, man, Timmy, it's just – I don't know how you can trust that guy. I don't know how you trust them.
Well, yeah, I don't know. There's just something about Rondon, and I'm probably way, way out in left field and very wrong, but I just don't feel totally comfortable with him in the role. I think there's just so many other options there. If he does struggle, you know, they'll look at him. A.J. Hinch has already shown that he's not reluctant to make moves. You know.
Yeah, I think it's Kelvin Herrera, Timmy. I think that's the move. I think that's who they bring in.
I think somebody. They bring somebody in.
They got to bring somebody, and they did it with Justin Verlander. They're not afraid to make these moves at the deadline, and I think they've got to bring in some bullpen help. I mean, they got great arms out there, but nobody can close the games out. Max Muncy, Timmy, it's always been a bit of a sleeper under the radar guy for me for years. It's so glad to see him having success. I mean, it's more of an on-base percentage guy. He's shown more pop than I thought he would, but Max Muncy, it's a good story.
Yeah, it is, and I felt so bad about not including him. I had to include him this week. It just wouldn't be right not to, considering I bought him two or three weeks ago in labor. You know, as I was writing this up, the last line says it all. He's now up to 11. Oops, make that 12. He had another one today, Rich, and he walked a couple times. I think he walked three times yesterday. OBP leagues, he's turning into a nice little pickup.
Yeah, he's, you know, Timmy, again, I saw him back in high A, and I really like what I saw. I thought he had really good plate discipline, and then he showed no power. And the difference is now he's shown a little bit of power. And, You know, it's all it takes. And all of a sudden, this guy could be relevant as a baseball player and relevant as a fantasy player. I mean, good for him and good for the Dodgers for finding them. I think that's fantastic. Came up to the Oakland organization. You've got Justin Sheffield in here, Timmy. You know, and it's a good call. I mean, obviously, Justin Sheffield with Tanaka going down appears to have credibility to be a guy that could get called up. But he's only got a couple starts in AAA, and he's also not on the 40-man roster. AJ Cole is. Chance Adams is also not on the 40-man rotation. But you know who is? Jonathan Loaisiga is on the 40-man. He's only in AA, but he is on the 40-man.
Yeah, basically, you know, I just listed all of the various options. And, yeah, other than AJ Cole and Loaisiga, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. None of them are on the 40, man. But I guess my premise is I'm not a strong enough believer in any of those guys holding the jobs. So what I'm saying is, while everybody else is chasing these guys, just put a couple bucks down on Justice Sheffield. And by the beginning of August, it might be money well spent. That's basically my premise.
Yeah, I've been on Jonathan Loaisiga for a while now. So I have him in every dynasty league. And he's only 5'11", but he throws 97 miles an hour. I've seen it. It's got really good secondary stuff. I think there's something there with the kid. No, he's not. But, I mean, you said it best. I mean, A.J. Cole, I mean, how do we need to see him anymore? I mean,
no.
So we don't. And Luis Sessa, I mean, he's had some opportunities. I think he's on the 40-man, at least he used to be. But the better pitchers, and Chance Adams, who I've never been a huge fan of, he's more ready, and Justice, they're not on the 40-man, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to make a move like that. And that's what I mean, that's why I keep thinking that might be the smart pick is to go, because the reason he's on the 40-man is because he was brought in as a 16-year-old kid out of the Dominican, actually Nicaragua.
Right.
So that's why he's on there.
Right. I guess it's just, I just don't feel overly confident in any of the easy answers. And I think at some point in time, the Yankees are either going to have to trade. And I strongly think that they're going to make a move on Cole Hamels. I really think the odds are good that we see Cole Hamels.
But they can't. I don't know if that's going to push him over their cap, Timmy. I mean, that's what they can't do. So
they can find a way to trade something back that makes it work, I'm sure.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, is he? I don't know. Cole Hamels, is that the right guy you want in Yankee Stadium? I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something though, because you know, CeCe's no youngster. Tanaka's going to be out for a while. They lost Montgomery. That pitching's starting to get a little bit thin in New York, and are they going to...
I mean, Hermanus is not the answer either, Timmy. This is not a guy that I think they can count on either.
No, he pitched well in his last game. He looked a lot better, but he's a number five starter, right?
Yeah, if that. And, you know, so, I mean, the Yankees have a chance to make some movement here, so... it'll be interesting to see what they do. I can assure you, Timmy, AJ Cole is not the answer. So,
I agree.
They've got to do something, and you know, I think it'd be awesome to see Justice Sheffield come up. He's also not ready, but out of the guys that you list here, he's got the most upside. And you know, the Yankees have not been bashful about promoting young kids. I mean, we've seen it for the last couple of years, and those young kids have done quite well.
Well, and the other thing is it doesn't cut into their plans as far as cap's concerned either, does it?
No, it doesn't, and that would be kind of the play there. You know, I was looking at Cott's contract the other day, and they're only spent $168 million, so it would appear they've got $20 million or so to play around with, but maybe that math is not right on that Cott's contract.
Yeah, it's... I thought they were a little higher than that, but that...
No, that's what it said. Yeah. I mean, I looked a couple of days ago trying to think through all this. Let's go to your final two names, Timmy. Joaquin Soria, you know, is it Nate Jones, Joaquin Soria? I mean, I've also seen Tyler Danish has actually looked really good in the bullpen in AAA. Guy that was I think he was a first-round draft pick by the White Sox several years ago. Really bad delivery, a lot of funkiness delivery and short arms the ball and just a funky delivery. It's really bad. He's going to hurt his shoulder at some point. But
right.
He's been doing quite well in AAA, and so there could be something there. But why you got Joaquin Soria now because he's got the job.
Yeah, he's got the job. He gave it back to Nate Jones. Nate Jones gave it back to him. Actually, the one guy I like in Chicago is a guy that they haven't given much of a chance to, and that's Fry. He's pitched very, very well.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Stephen Wright,
yeah.
Timmy. Do we really need to talk about Stephen Wright?
Yeah, I like my last line. It's just a shame that I spelled something wrong. It's just a shame that the right stuff is still wrong. Does that sum it up nicely?
Well, the right stuff is I see. I'll fix that, Timmy.
Take the B out, right. And I think we're good.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Okay, I'll fix that up for you, Timmy. No problem.
He's a knuckleball pitcher. It's even when he's right. I've owned Stephen Wright when he had that great first half, and until Farrell decided he was a base running genius and screwed up his shoulder. And you know what? Every time Wright pitched, I felt uneasy. I did not feel comfortable. It's knuckleballers. I don't care how good they are, how successful they are. You never, at least me, never got on the hill. It's like, okay, is this the day that he puts up a 10 earned run line? And it was like that every single start that I owned Stephen Wright.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Timmy. Let's finish up with a couple of these two-start pitchers. First of all, as always, awesome job with the waiver wire list. Timmy, I know it is the highlight of our show because so many people just want to hear where your thoughts are. It is out there as early as we can put it out there on Sunday evening. I know some waiver wires go early on Sunday evening. Timmy, we do our best to get it out there, but you know, when you got power outages and stuff like that, I mean, sometimes it just takes a little longer.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that, you know, I know it sometimes gets out later, but I try and make it as current as possible. And, you know, each and every week, Sunday mornings is one of those, let's take a look just to see who got hurt Saturday, who's not starting, who got called up. There's a lot of activity on Sundays, and I know sometimes it's cutting close to a deadline, but I try and make it as current and up-to-date as possible because I think for Sunday nights that counts.
Totally agree with you, Tim. I say that not apologizing at all. It's just, you know, people want it earlier so they can absorb it. I mean, you know, I'd rather have quality out than you want a bunch of names that aren't thought through. I can put those names out on Sunday morning if everybody wants that.
Yeah, I can give you a waiver. I can give you a waiver wire on Wednesday if you want, Rich. Like a lot of other sites do, but it's not relevant by Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, quite frankly, is it that's part of the problems in doing this, Timmy, as you know. I mean, sometimes they're not relevant, won't be relevant on Monday evening. I mean, things change so quickly, so you can only know what you know when you're putting something out. But it's such good quality, and I would never compare it to whatever everybody else writes. All I know is it's really, really good. And I know people love reading it, and I know they get a lot out of it. So thank you for that, and I appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm just like the folks at Avis. I try harder.
Sorry, yeah. All right, Timmy, two-star pitchers here. We'll let me just give you three names to choose from. Lucas Giolito, Timmy. Oh, good Lord. I was so wrong on Lucas Giolito. But he's got two starts, home against Cleveland and home against Detroit. You like that? It doesn't really matter who they're going up against. Let's see. You got him. You got good old James Shields, that's sick with the White Sox, home against the Cleveland and also home against Detroit. That's your second choice. Or let's go with your now that's too easy. I'd probably pick Y.N. Chen over that. Let's go with Trevor Richards with Miami. Home against the San Francisco Giants and at Baltimore against Dylan Bundy. But boy, the Baltimore Orioles are so bad. They're just awful. Out of those three, Timmy, who do you got?
You know, the Jays are awful, okay? And Baltimore made the Jays look good this weekend. I didn't think that was possible, Rich.
I didn't know. Yeah, I mean, they lost like 13-2 today. I mean, it's terrible.
They got swept.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, Buck Showalter's going to lose his job, right? I mean, those guys are just going to – have they just given up as a team, quit playing for him? It's bad.
Well, and I don't think any of the management team is on contracts for next year.
None.
Yeah. So, like, what are they playing for? Like, they're floundering at all levels, and that is not good. I would imagine if Buck Showalter is fired – he's probably going to breathe a sigh of relief and say thank you.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think we already talked about, not only do they move Manny Machado, I think they need to move some of their younger talent like Dylan Bundy and Gossman and Jonathan Scope. I think they need to break it all down and literally start over again.
Well, and Britton's a possibility
to
end up in
Houston. I totally agree.
As well.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe he goes to the Astros. Maybe that's, they're waiting to see what he can do. But they've gotta rebuild that farm system. They've gotta rebuild that pitching staff. They have nothing, Tim. It's just a bad, bad team.
And again, with no management on board for next year, how do you go about planning and for the future? You know, is this year and next year both lost years? Could be.
It could be. You know, I mean, but you mentioned, I think before you got on, Ruben Amaro was. He did the right thing by the Phillies, and he knew he was not going to come back. I mean, he knew he was going to get fired, but yet he made some really good trades in his, you know, last 3 months on board. And I think that the team in Baltimore could do the same thing, kind of do the right thing by the organization. But, you know, whether they do that or not, I don't know. But at least there's some precedent with what the Phillies did with Ruben Amaro.
Yeah, they weren't owned by D'Angelo, so were they?
No, that's the problem right there. So anyway, Timmy,
yeah.
you're delaying the question. Lucas Giolito, James Shields, or Trevor Richards? You got to pick one, Timmy. Who's it going to be?
Okay, well, I can't pick Giolito, but you know what? Hot tip, okay? Detroit, pick up Dixon Machado. He's going to have a big game.
Okay, pick up anybody who plays for the Detroit. Poor Lucas Giolito. I just don't know what happened to him. It's terrible. All right, so now it's between James Shields or Trevor Richards, Timmy. Who do you got?
I can't go Shields, okay? He had a nice little run. I think he pitched 5 or 6 games before getting blown up in his last one. But I can't go with Shields. I have to go with Trevor Richards, and the reason I'm going with him is he has the same last name as Keith, and Keith was an amazing guitarist. Okay, so
you're
putting my role
like you're talking in the past tense, Timmy. He's still alive. The last time I checked, right?
Who, Trevor? Yeah, he's starting this week. We met Keith. What was that gag about Keith Richards? In the event of a nuclear holocaust, two things were guaranteed to survive: cockroaches and Keith Richards.
That's true. He's very preserved, Timmy. Very preserved.
Very much so. Love you, Keith. I really do. But I'm going to go with Trevor Richards. San Francisco, you know what? That'll be the game that Hansen's on the bench, so he can't hurt them. And if the Orioles couldn't do any damage against the Toronto starters, so I'm betting Richards is at least as good as what was wheeled out by the Jays. So
yeah,
I'm all in on Richards.
Yeah, I almost said Wyan Chen, even though he's going against Madison Bumgarner. I mean, Alex Cobb, he's got the second game against Alex Cobb. Timmy is terrible. I mean, I don't know what happened to that guy. Brutal.
I think he could end up being the poster child for not every Tommy John works out according to plan, Rich.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. Timmy, great show. I really appreciate the conversation. I know our fans do. I know the listeners do. Not always one of the same, Timmy, fans and listeners. Not always one of the same. But good stuff. What do you got going on this week?
Well, I'm going to rush to my calendar immediately. And I'm putting a big X on June 10th on all 3 calendars in the house, because that was the day, the only day in all of our 8-9 years of doing the podcast that I got the guess the player right before the question was even asked. That's my plans for the week.
Okay. Now it's July. It's the first week in July, second week in July. You won't be here. What's the plan?
I gotta confirm the dates yet. The second oldest grandson's got a birthday, so I'll be in Thunder Bay. But I might even be able to do it on a Sunday that week. I still haven't got a firm agenda for that weekend, but it's at least 3 weeks down the road anyways, Rich. So we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, when we get closer, we'll figure that out. I have a flight to Asia on the 15th, Timmy. And I appreciate everybody's concern about my ear, Timmy. My ear is doing much, much better. It was the grossest experience I've ever. It's of course, I went to an ear, nose, and throat guy. And you know, mm-hmm. First they did a hearing test. Timmy, my heart was beating a mile a minute because she's giving me this she's giving me this hearing test. I swear I couldn't hear a thing. I mean, I couldn't. I mean, she said, I'm going to talk into it. You know, she was using her words, and I heard this pretty well. She goes, now we're going to hear beeping noise. And I'm going, I don't hear sound. She was first doing my good ear where it wasn't clogged. Yeah. I couldn't hear anything. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm deaf. I mean, I can't hear anything. She goes, and I said, have you started? Oh, no, I'm having a little malfunction here. I go, thank God, because I can't hear a damn thing. So that made me feel bad.
What she should have said is, yeah, the test is over, and then smiled at you, right?
Yeah, the test is over. You failed. But then I went to the ear, nose, and throat guy. And he comes in jeans, kind of long hair. I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. This guy's at least pretty hip. Looks at my good ear. He says, eh, that's fine. Looks at my bad ear. He goes, you have an ear canal infection. Let's go fix it. I go, what are you talking about? Before I know Timmy, he's got a vacuum cleaner. I'm not making this up. A vacuum cleaner in my ear. Cleaning my ear out. And it was over. And first of all, in the middle of the whatever it was, a procedure, I don't know what you would call it. I said, dude, you got to stop because the room is starting to spin by itself. He goes, that's because I'm messing with your inner ear. I go, well, can you stop from just a moment here? Just give the man a break here for a second. But I could, once he was done, he sucked it all out and I could hear I heard fine. So still got a little stuffiness in my ears, but I think I'm well on my way to recovery. Miserable 2 weeks though.
Oh, I know what you're experiencing, Rich, because when I was a youngster, I got a severe ear infection, and as a result of it, my ears don't drain well. So about once every 12 to 18 months, I have to go in and have them basically the same thing as you, Dysoned out. And it's not a pleasant experience when you can't hear. It throws out your ability to walk, to talk. Not only do you have trouble hearing, like I said, you have trouble walking a straight line. You don't know how loud you're talking because they're plugged and you can't hear. It's a very, very uncomfortable situation. It really is.
I've felt dizzy for the last 2 weeks, so I know what you mean. And like today I felt a little dizzy. Yesterday I felt fine, so I'm kind of in that recovery period. So, but you don't realize how much you need your ears until they're screwed up.
Well, yeah, I actually ended up before we had a CAT scan in Fort Francis, my doctor sent me over to International Falls because they had one there. He wasn't sure if it was vertigo or a stroke, and this was about 15 years ago. So thankfully it was just vertigo.
Yeah, it's funny that, Timmy, so you've had this procedure, whatever it is. I mean, the guy laid me on the table before. I hear this, like, sound. I'm like, whoa, what is this? Like, stop. Tell me what's going on here. He goes, I'm going to clean your ear out. I go, what is this thing? You're going to clean my ear out. That sounds like a vacuum cleaner. He goes, oh, yeah, it's a vacuum cleaner. I'm like, great.
Well, yeah. The only Dyson that you want to have anywhere near you is Jared on your fantasy teams, not stuck in your ear, right?
I know. To me, it was very uncomfortable, man. I'm glad it was over. But, boy, it was, So all of our listeners, if somebody ever says you have an ear infection and says, let me clean that out, it's going to be uncomfortable for about 10 or 15 minutes, and it's a long 10, but you'll feel great afterwards.
Well, don't you also have a problem with, what is it, tinnitus from your guitar days, Rich? Didn't you?
Yeah, it's tinnitus, Timmy. I have a constant buzz in my ear. I've had it for going on 12 years, I think, now. And and that's, you know, and I went to all kinds of specialists when I first had it, and they all said, look, you know, this, it's just, it happens. You've damaged your ear, and there's a good chance you're going to lose your hearing. And that ear, and it's always, that's always stuck in the back of my mind. So whenever, when I had this problem, I'm like, oh my God, my hearing's gone. I'm only 55. I'm going to be deaf. And I'm like, I have to learn how to sign language. All these things are going through your head, and you realize, no, it's not that yet. So my hearing had not changed since the last time.
Good.
So it hasn't gotten any worse, which was good. But yeah, it's a constant buzzing, ringing in the ear, which the treatment for it, Timmy, is actually sedatives and stuff, because people go crazy because they hear this constant buzzing in their ear. And I can assure you, it's a little uncomfortable, but I haven't needed a sedative yet.
Well, that's a good thing, and it sounds it sounds much better than the voices that I'm hearing. I'm down to lose one argument every second day now, Rich.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not hearing voices yet, Timmy, but just the hissing now. It's hissing. Always good to catch up, Timmy. Always fun. We will see everybody next Sunday.
Same time, same bad channel. Be well, my friend.
See ya.